invitation to go back to Brazil. And I'm pretty sure everybody here knows what a missionary is, but in case you don't, a missionary, by definition, is simply a person who is sent out with a specific job or duty. You won't find the word missionary anywhere in the Bible, but we use it to referring to a person who is called by God to go to a specific place with the job or duty of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission, baptizing them and teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. And so we are called by God to go to the country of Brazil and to fulfill the Great Commission in Brazil. And I thank God for my beautiful wife and our baby daughter, Abigail. I am very sorry that she was not able to make it. I usually don't travel without her. Almost every church, we're always with her. Abigail has a fever and she's been throwing up, so my wife stayed home with her. And we're actually not living too far away from here. We're staying in some missionary housing in Bedford, Indiana. And so it wasn't too long of a drive. But it's a privilege to be here this morning. And I'm going to get ready to show my slide presentation for Sunday School Hour. Pastor, what time do you usually finish Sunday School? Okay. Going to be a little bit more informal. I tend to want to preach, but I try not to preach in Sunday School. Say that for the service. But I am going to show our slide presentation. And after the slides, I will give tell you a little bit about Brazil and then give you some time for some questions and answers. So if you have any questions, just keep that in mind and you'll have a chance to ask me later. But we'll go ahead and show the slide presentation.
The sun is the essence of all life. Without it, everything would be dead. Some countries receive more sunlight than others, and Brazil is one of those privileged countries. But in spite of having so many beautiful sunrises and warm, sunny days, Brazil lacks the most important sun of all, the Son of God. We are Eddie and Maribel Johnson, and our goal is to radiate the Son of God in Brazil.
I was 9 years old when my parents moved from Mexico to Denver, Colorado. When I was 15, I was invited to attend Iglesia Bautista de Denver, Colorado, and soon made the decision to accept Jesus as my Savior. As a young Christian, I involved myself in the ministry while praying for my unsaved family. At 17, I surrendered my life to full-time Christian service. So in the fall of 2000, I enrolled at Hiles Anderson College. While there, I was involved in many aspects of the ministry and had the privilege of leading hundreds to Christ. There, I also met my wonderful husband, Eddie. We were married August 2nd of 2003. In May of 2004, I graduated with the Marriage and Motherhood degree. Today, my whole family is saved, and my two younger brothers are in Bible college. The light of Jesus Christ transformed my family and me, but what about the Brazilians who have never seen that light? I feel very privileged that I can accompany Eddie to serve God in the needy country of Brazil.
In 1974, my parents, Dan and Jerry Johnson, went to Brazil as missionaries, where I was born. I asked God to save me when I was 6 years old, but it was not until the age of 12 that I received the assurance of my salvation. When I was 13, I surrendered my life to the Lord, and 6 months later, He called me into full-time Christian service. I left Brazil in the fall of 1998 and became a student at Hiles Anderson College. On February 19, 1999, God called me to the mission field during a missions conference at the college. I told God that I would love to go back to Brazil, but that I wanted His will to be done. 1 year later, God clearly showed me that He wanted me to give my life to Brazil. While in Bible college, I saw hundreds of people saved. I also enjoyed serving in many different ways, including the deaf ministry and the bus ministry, where I met my beautiful wife, Maribel. In May of 2003, I graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Pastoral Theology. That summer, I traveled for one of the college singing tour groups and then got married. Today, all four of my siblings and I are serving God full-time three of us as missionaries to Brazil. My desire is to pass on my Christian heritage to a people who have a heritage of spiritual darkness. We are serving with Baptist International Missions Incorporated and are sent by First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana.
Brazil is a fascinating land, covering half of South America and bordering every country on its continent, except for two, Chile and Ecuador. This giant nation, occupying an area larger than continental United States, is the fifth largest country on Earth, both in area and in population. Over 180 million souls live here, most of which have never seen the light of the Son of God. Although Brazil is often associated with Indians and the Amazon jungle, Indians make up less than 1% of the population. One in four Brazilians crowd into five metropolitan areas in the southern part of the country where God has called us to go. Imagine yourself on a tour as we take you on a quick guide to see some of the spiritual needs in two of these metropolises.
Rio de Janeiro is probably one of the best known cities in Brazil. More than 10 million people live in this beautiful port city. Brazilians have a true passion for soccer. Over 120,000 frenzied fans often crowd into the Maracanã, the world's largest sports stadium. I can't help but to think that most of them will spend eternity in hell without ever having heard the good news. The famous Christ the Redeemer statue towers over the city's highest point, overlooking the Sugarloaf Mountain, and demonstrates Brazil's zeal for religion. Many Brazilians are searching for the truth while wandering in spiritual darkness. Although 90% of Brazilians are Catholic, the official religion of the nation, they often mix and intermingle different religions. Frequently, one who claims to be Catholic is also Pentecostal and attends a spiritist center.
Southwest of Rio stands the New York of Latin America, Sao Paulo, the third largest city on Earth. It is home to 18 million inhabitants, 10% of Brazil's population. Its vast industrial park, one of the biggest and most modern in the world, attests to the force of the Sao Paulo dynamo. Its elegant apartment buildings and mansions demonstrate the wealth of its powerful business elite. However, while boasting the country's industrial and financial center, it is also saddled with teeming slums. The family in a five-bedroom mansion and the homeless man under a city bridge both need to know about a home in heaven prepared for them.
Brazilians are hungry for the truth. Growing up in Brazil, I saw this firsthand. Mauricio came to me one afternoon wanting to know more about the Bible. After being saved, he brought his fiancée to church, who also accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. One evening, I went to visit Adriano, who received the assurance of his salvation. Now he has completed 1 year of Bible Institute. Many other Brazilians are searching for the truth, but time is running out for them.
Religious freedom is greater in Brazil than in the U.S. The public schools allow 1 hour a week of religious studies, but have no teachers. All we have to do is meet with the administration of the school, and they will allow us to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the students.
All the Brazilians need is someone to guide them. During my senior trip, I visited a city called Cuiabá. While staying with a Brazilian pastor, he showed me 10 different Baptist churches, many with property and buildings, but without a pastor. My heart broke. So many Brazilians want to know and follow the truth, but have no one to lead them. Our greatest desire is to lead the Brazilians to a saving Savior, but we will not just win them and leave them. We will start churches and train the nationals to preach the gospel all over Brazil and the world. We will radiate the Son of God in Brazil so that the Brazilians can radiate Jesus Christ throughout the whole world. After receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior, a young Brazilian man asked, "If what you told us is true, why have we never heard this before?" Ask yourself that question. Why hasn't the world heard of the Savior's grace?
He was moved with compassion when the multitude he saw. Sheep without a shepherd, they were scattered abroad. Jesus saw their sad condition and his love for them.
Maribel and I are burdened because we realize that we are just one light among 6 billion people in the world. What are you doing with your light? Will you pray about what God wants to do with you? And please pray for us as we radiate the Son of God in Brazil.
I want you to go ahead and get your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we'll begin reading in verse 15. And we'll read through verse 17. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 15, it says, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I pray, Lord, just bless the Sunday school hour. I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge us about the cause of missions, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Acts chapter 17, talking about Paul, Paul was waiting at Athens for Timotheus and Silas to come join him. And the city of Athens was a very religious city. If you read in verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Paul is saying, you're very religious people. He goes on to say in verse 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So Paul, the very religious city of Athens, they had hills called Mars Hills. They had a temple up there, and they had all kinds of different idols that they worshipped, different gods that they worshipped. They were very religious, very superstitious, as Paul calls them. And they had an altar that said to the unknown God. And while Paul was in Athens, the Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Because he saw the need of the people, he saw their spiritual ignorance, he saw how needy they were of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 17 it says, therefore. Why? Because of his spirit being stirred. "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." People often ask me, you know, why are you a missionary to Brazil? Is it because your parents are there? Is it because your family's there? Is it because that's where you were born and you grew up? And There are three reasons that I'm a missionary to Brazil. The first reason is because of a Christ. The second reason is because of a calling, and also because of a cause. And yes, that is part of the reason that I am going back to Brazil. It's not the only reason. As I mentioned, there was a calling, a definite calling in my life for me to go back to Brazil. But when I, growing up in Brazil, I had the opportunity of seeing the need there in Brazil. And during the Sunday school hour, I just want to share with you some things about Brazil, of the need they have there and the opportunity that we have, our goals and our desires, tell you a little bit about ourselves, and kind of share a little bit of my heart with you, and so you can pray for us as we go down there. You can share a little bit of that burden with us. But I thank God for my family, my Christian heritage. I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, I was walking down the street in Brazil, and I saw a man smoking a cigarette, and he was making big puffs out of his mouth and out of his nose, and I thought, man, that looks pretty cool. And bear in mind, I had never had a cigarette up close, much less held one in my hand. And he threw that cigarette on the ground and went back into the store, and I walked up to where the cigarette was, and I looked at the cigarette, and it was still lit. And I said, well, what's he throwing away this perfectly good cigarette for? And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I'm remembering smoke coming out of his mouth and smoke coming out of his nose, and I'm thinking, how does he do that? And I look at the cigarette, and the smoke is coming out of the tip, so I stuck it in my mouth, but I put the wrong end in my mouth. I burned my tongue, I threw it on the ground, and I said, I'm never going to smoke again. But I thank God for parents who kept me too stupid to sin. But growing up in Brazil, I did have the opportunity to get a heart for the people, to get a heart of the country. Brazil is actually where I consider home. We spent 4 years there, and every fifth year we come home on furlough for about a year. And I have dual citizenship. I was born there, so I am a Brazilian. I have a Brazilian passport. I mean, I don't need a visa to get in Brazil. A lot of things I do now, I'm not really Brazilian or American. I'm a little bit of both. I'm a third culture kid. Some of the things I do is American, some of the things I do is Brazilian, and some of the things I do, I don't know where I got from. But I remember coming home for furlough my sophomore year in high school. And, one of the very first Saturdays I was here, we went soul winning with the teenagers from the church, and after soul winning, they always went to McDonald's. And so we were at McDonald's in Brazil. Whenever you're eating something, you always share with the people around you. And if you're out in public and you're eating an ice cream, you offer it to everybody around you. And if you have some friends, they're very liable to take a lick. Now, they don't usually, but sometimes they will. And so it's just proper manners. You share everything that you have. And so I was at McDonald's, and I had ordered my Big Mac meal, and here I am drinking my Coke waiting for my meal. And some guys gathered around me, and I'm like, here, would you like some pop? And I'm offering it to all these guys. These guys are like, ooh, you're disgusting. And a friend of mine came to college, and he sat down to eat his pizza, and got his fork and knife, and started cutting up the pizza, and started eating with his forks. His friend's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, this is how they do it in Brazil. And so there's a lot of cultural differences, of course, and I come to the States, I do some weird things. I go to Brazil, I do some weird things, and have a little bit of both of them in me. But really, my heart is in Brazil, and growing up there, a lot of the culture was instilled in me. And when I was 6 years old, I asked God to save me. But it was not until the age of 12 that I received the assurance of my salvation. And when I was 13, I went to my first youth camp. And there at that youth camp, God moved in my heart. And I realized that even though I was in church, I was a good kid in the eyes of other people, my heart was not right with God. And I had not fully surrendered my life to God's will. And that day, that Thursday evening, I surrendered my life to do whatever God had for me in my life. And during my teenage years, I was very involved in the church, very involved with the youth group, with a lot of the ministries in the church. And when I came back to college in 1998, I told God, God, you know, I'd love to go back to Brazil. That's where my heart is. Those are my people. I know the language. I know the culture. But I'm not going to come back to Brazil unless it's your will for my life. But I was reading this passage one morning, and when I was having my devotions in Bible college. And when I came to this verse, in verse 16, the Holy Spirit just, he said, Eddie, the Brazilians are a city, they're a city wholly given to idolatry. And I started thinking of Brazil, and my heart, I just started weeping, and I just started thinking about the Brazilians and their need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Brazil is they speak the language, a Portuguese language is very similar to Spanish. It's actually, though, it's a different language. My wife does speak Spanish. She'll be able to learn Portuguese probably easier than an American would, but she still has to learn the language. And it's a city of over 180 million people. It's the a country of over 180 million. It's the fifth largest country in all the world. The United States is fourth, and right after the United States is the country of Brazil. In fact, if you take away Alaska, Brazil is larger in area than the continental United States. It's a huge country. I grew up in the southeastern part of Brazil. For me to drive, now the Amazon jungle covers one-third of Brazil, and for me to drive from where I grew up to the border of the Amazon jungle would be a little bit over a 30-hour trip. Now the roads are not as good as here, and it is narrower like this than it is like this. So going north takes longer, but nonetheless, it's a huge country. That's just like you having a forest that goes all the way from California to past Colorado. And I've never been in the Amazon jungle, never been anywhere close to it. But just in the Amazon jungle alone, there's a city there, the city of Manaus, which is over 2 million. People in the city of Manaus. There's over 200 tribes off the in the Amazon jungle. Some of those have no contact with civilization whatsoever. If you go down the river from Manaus is right in the central part of the Amazon. You can fly in there. You can go down the river either way. If you go west, you'll eventually end up in Peru. And if you go east, you'll end up in the ocean. And you can go down the river, and off of the river you'll find tribes. And many of those tribes have no gospel witness. And just that's less, the Indians in Brazil is less than 1% of the population. But just such a great need there in the Amazon. But not just in the Amazon, the southern part of the country where God has called us to go, the city of São Paulo is located in the southern part of the country. That is the third largest city in all the world. A very, very conservative, when I made the presentation, it was 18 million. Probably a very conservative number would be about 20 million people in the city of São Paulo. And that's larger than 80 individual countries in the world. There's many countries that have 1 million or 2 million people in the country. I know of four independent Baptist churches in the city of São Paulo. One of those is a deaf work. One of those is does not have a very aggressive outreach ministry, and the other two are very good churches. But that's four churches for. Over 20 million people. That's just the city of São Paulo. A lot of missionaries actually go to the southeastern part of Brazil because all the population is there. You go to the city of Rio de Janeiro, it has over 10 million people in that city. It used to be the capital. You moved to Brasilia, but in the city of Rio de Janeiro alone, I only know of one independent Baptist church. I'm sure there's probably others, but most of them are probably not worth much as far as no outreach and no standards and so forth, but that's the city of Rio de Janeiro. I know that the city of Brasilia, the capital of Brazil, I don't know of any independent fundamental Baptist churches in the city of Brasilia. I could go on and on and on. The opportunity is tremendous. The need is tremendous. In Brazil, we have more religious freedom than we do have here in the United States. We are allowed into the public schools. There is a law. Legally, they have to permit, they're supposed to provide an hour a week of religious studies. And we are actually by law allowed to go into the public schools. We could go in the same day every week, teach the same class for a whole semester, for a whole year. Or some schools will allow us actually to go in and just pretty much do like an evangelistical type meeting and go in for 1, 2, 3 or a week and just preach the gospel to all the students. Great opportunity. Here in the States, we live in a country that's supposed to be Christian, and we don't want the Bible, we don't want prayer in public schools. We're very fast heading in the wrong direction. The country of Brazil is actually asking us to go in. And a lot of missionaries, actually, they're so involved with their ministries, they don't have time to spend an hour a week in the public schools. But what a great opportunity. I had a missionary friend of mine was in the public schools for 3 days. In Brazil, in the public schools, in the high school, they have morning classes, afternoon classes, and evening classes for different reasons, partly because they don't have enough schools, but also because a lot of the teenagers will actually work and to help with the family. So he was able in 3 days' time. He went all day long in a school, a very large school. He was able to present the gospel to over 600 students. And of those 600 students, over 300 of them professed faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. After one of the classes, one of those high school young men came to him and he said, "You know, I've been to a lot of churches in the area, but I never heard what you said today." And he said, "If what you're telling us is true, why have we never heard this before?" And the opportunities are just tremendous in Brazil. The people, our problem is not getting into the doors. You know, when we go out door knocking, yeah, some people don't want us. Some people won't want. But partly because of their culture, they're very friendly people. You won't find any friendlier people in all the world. They don't like offending people. And but also, a lot of them are very hungry for the gospel. They're seeking the truth. They claim to be Catholic. Over 90% of them are Catholic, but more by tradition than anything. It's not uncommon for you to find a Catholic to going to a charismatic church and attending a spiritist center. But our problem is not getting into the doors. Our problem is getting out of the doors. I've stayed in the houses until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when the man I was speaking to had to get up the next morning and go to work. And they're very hungry. They'll listen. They want to know what you have to present to them. Very receptive people, open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the opportunities are just so great. Our goal is to go. Our first year will be in the city of São Paulo. My brother is going to be starting a church. Brian, I believe you support Brian. He'll be starting a church there this year in São Paulo. Our goal is to help him with that work while my wife goes to language school so she can learn Portuguese. And then after that, we'll be starting a church, not in the city of São Paulo, but in the state of São Paulo. Just like you have New York City, you have the state of New York. We'll be going into the state of São Paulo and starting a church. My parents are about 6 hours west of São Paulo. I have another brother that's in Brazil. He's about 14 hours northwest of São Paulo. And I'm guessing we'll be about 2 hours away from São Paulo. But our goal is to be there by the end of this year. And we are very excited about what God has for us. I mean, there's over 8 million homeless kids in the streets of Brazil. It's not uncommon for you to be driving down the street in São Paulo and for you to see a homeless kid, and he'll actually have the cheapest form of glue that he can get his hands on, cheapest form of drug, which is a very strong glue, a can of glue, and you'll see him with a plastic bag from that can of glue to his nose, and he'll be sniffing that glue and just frying his brains out as a kid. It's made international news a couple of times where the police have gone down to where they sleep at night and just kill them all because they're just a nuisance to society. And the opportunities there are just tremendous. And we can't wait to get there in Brazil. Now, I'm going to open up for a little bit of time, question and answer. Every church is different. Some churches have a lot of questions. Some churches don't have any. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir. You know, I don't know why, but to my knowledge, there is not anybody, not even us Baptists, aren't really taking too much advantage of that, unfortunately. Well, good for us that the other cults aren't getting in, but there's, I don't know, hardly very few people that are actually going into public schools. Now, there is a very large child evangelism, a group like that, and they go in. Of course, they're an interdenominational, I believe. So I guess there is some of that, but not very common, actually, surprisingly. Yes, sir?
In the jungle, you talked about, has there ever been an attempt to go there and share the gospel with them, or are you planning to do something? Is there any missionary that you're aware of?
Now, bear in mind, it's a very large jungle, okay, and there's over 200 tribes. So depending on what tribe, those that have no contacts from civilization, I believe you're talking about those. Well, not even the Brazilian government really knows where they are. You might see them once in a while flying over by plane or something, but there really is actually no contact. And as far as I know, there really isn't much of an, I don't know of any missionaries or any works that are trying to reach them. I do know that there's a group going to the Manaus from Oklahoma Baptist College. A group of six couples, and they're still starting deputation. So, but they want to establish a work there in Manaus and reach out to mainly the people on the river, but maybe eventually in the future reach out to these people. You have to understand, not even the Indians that live off the river go into the jungle. They'll stay on the trails because they know if they go in the jungle, they'll get lost. And it's just, it's a huge jungle. A lot of it is unexplored. But it is definitely a need, and definitely something that, we ought to be trying to reach them also. But we're not even reaching the ones that are close by, unfortunately. Yes, ma'am. It's a good question. A lot of it has to do with, of course, it's a third culture country. You're going to find that in a lot of third culture countries because of the poverty. But actually, Brazil is a very immoral country. It's one of the most sensual countries in all the world. It's actually if you ladies want to do a plastic surgery, you can go to Brazil. It's the plastic surgery capital of the world. And the reason is because they have the yearly carnival, which is just nothing more than a nationwide Mardi Gras. And they're very minded about how their appearance. But because of that, there's a lot of immorality that happens. A lot of teenagers that get pregnant out of wedlock and don't have anywhere to live. A lot of them just abandon their children, a lot of them are poor, so they live in the streets with their children. But a lot of children actually don't even have any parents around. So there's a lot of things involved, but poverty and immorality are one of the two major issues there. Yes. Yes, there is an adoption. An orphanage is a very needy ministry there. I know of one orphanage, I think. I've heard of it. I don't really know what kind of ministry it is in Sao Paulo. You can adopt. I'm not sure all the legal process and red tape you have to go through, but I believe it's not very difficult. Similar to states, maybe even a little bit easier than in the states. Good questions. Yes, ma'am? Just like a lot of third world countries, there is more of a big difference. There's a lot of poor and a lot of rich, very small middle class. But I would say, compared to other third world countries, there's more of middle class than other third world countries. The economy in Brazil is for a third world country, it's a stable economy. They have up until about 10 or 15 years ago, they had their currency was very unstable. We actually, when I was a teenager, the inflation was over 100% a month. And because of the inflation was so high, prices were always going up, and so they were always adding zeros to the prices. So they every 10 years or every 5 years, they would actually change the currency and start all over again. But 10, 15 years ago, they started a new currency, which is very stable. Inflation is not very high at all. It used to be, when they first started it, it was $1 would buy two of their dollars. And then it went up to dollar would buy three and almost 50 cents of theirs, which is actually good for missionaries, because if the dollar can buy more of their money, then you don't need as your support will go a lot longer. But actually, it's been going down again. I think it's happening all over the world. Europe, I know especially, but Brazil also is back down to $1. $1 buys $2 and just over $2 of theirs. So which means missionaries have lost a lot of their buying power. Parents have lost over 30% of their buying power just in the last 3 or 4 years. But it is a very stable economy, and there is more middle class than you would have in a lot of other third world countries. But still, especially if you come from the States, you would see a lot of poor and a lot of rich. That's what you'd notice probably. Very good questions. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am?
Do the Christians or the national pastors face much persecution?
Being in such a large country, I'm sure there are some parts that they might, but I don't really know of much persecution at all, especially in the cities are very modern. They're like the United States in a lot of ways. And so there's not persecution. Our problem is not with the Catholic Church. Our problem is more with the Charismatics and so forth, not because of persecution, but because of their doctrine and so forth. There are actually a lot of prosperity gospel that's very big in Brazil, and Charismatic movement is growing like wildfire. But we don't have any persecution from the Catholic Church, at least not in the southeastern part of Brazil. I'm sure if you go in the Amazon, some tribes or or even some smaller towns where it's mainly Catholic, you might have some, but I don't know of any at all. Again, that would vary a lot from what part of the country you are at. In the cities, there's a lot of industry. São Paulo is big industry and commercial, center of Latin America, actually. But where I grew up was it was called Limeira, which actually means orange grove. It's a type of orange, and they had made a lot of orange juice, a lot of sugar cane. So there's a lot of farming in that sense, but actually a lot of businesses, storefront stores, and even industries that made steel, made car parts, so there is a wide variety of jobs. But a lot of Brazilians are either involved with agriculture or businesses like selling things or industries. Yes, sir? The average Brazilian, now this was, when I looked this up, this has been a year, actually at least a year, so I'm not sure how correct this is now, but the average pay is about $1, they make 7 times less than the average American. So if they don't go by hourly, it's a monthly, minimum wage is monthly, but if the hourly is $7 here in the States, the minimum wage there would be $1 per person. Americans, compared to the rest of the world, are very, things that we think are needs are not needs. Most of them live very modestly, and they're actually very happy. They're very content with how they live. Very small houses, a lot of families live together, and they have very few bedrooms. And that's not true for all of them, but they do live a lot more modestly than Americans do, that's for sure. Yes, ma'am? The climate in Brazil is in the northern part in the Amazon is tropical, very humid, very hot, very rainy. That's why it's called the rainforest. But if you go, the equator does go through the middle part, the northern part of Brazil. If you go down south, where I grew up in the southeastern part of Brazil, it's actually semi-tropical. There's summer and winter. Summer is not too bad. It gets up in the 90s, even 100s, but it's not humid at all. You go in the shade and you don't feel the heat. And then in the winter time, it'll get in the 40s every once in a while. Usually it's in the 60s, maybe in the 50s. Every once in a while it'll frost. The difference is they don't have any central heating. If it gets cold outside, it gets cold inside. So when you're taking a shower, it can be very uncomfortable. By the way, if you want to make a very... I wouldn't recommend it in the States just because everything in the States is made out of wood. Everything in Brazil is made out of masonry. But we would get a very cheap heater. We would get a small can, tin can, a coffee can or something, and put a toilet paper, roll the toilet paper in there, put some alcohol, rubbing alcohol on it, and just light it up, and it acts as a small space heater for a small room, like a bathroom or so. It lasts a long time. But thank you very much, and I guess we'll go ahead and pray and dismiss. Lord, thank you for this hour to be able to be in Sunday school, Lord. And Lord, the need in Brazil is tremendous, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to get there quickly, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be able to see a great work done there in Brazil, Lord. But I pray, Lord, for these people here. The need here is also tremendous, and I pray, Lord, that you'll use them reaching this area for Christ. For these things, in Jesus' name, amen.